Welcome to the Politics of Public Radio session here at the Media and Democracy Congress. Thank you all for coming for what I think will be an enjoyable couple hours. We have until 3:30, so 2 hours and 10 minutes from now. Because it's the longest session in the Congress, at any rate, 2 hours and 10 minutes. And what we have is this panel was conceived because at the first Media and Democracy Congress, there was a lot of interest in radio, NPR, community radio, pirate radio or micro broadcasting, and also, and perhaps most importantly, Pacifica and the developments at the Pacifica group of stations. And there was a thought as we organized this Congress that the issues that are sort of festering around public radio need to be debated openly at this Congress and not be just debated in the hallways. But actually there's a lot of information that's necessary that people attending the Congress would like to know, to get some facts, to get some information, to hear some argument and debate on points about what is happening in public radio, community radio, and specifically Pacifica, but also all of community and public radio. So that's why this panel was assembled. Our initial hope was that it would be one half community radio dealing primarily with Pacifica and one half NPR. As it developed in our negotiations, we were unable really to get anyone from NPR willing that we could get to commit to come here. And I don't know the exact reasons why. I wasn't on the negotiations, so I don't want to say they refused to come for any reason. But in any case, we couldn't get anyone to come. Much like yesterday in our discussions of public broadcasting, we couldn't get someone from the top echelons of PBS either to come to explain how they work or to answer questions from people assembled at the Congress. So as it's developed, we have a panel now of six people, which we think represents a variety of perspectives and interests in public broadcasting. And initially, once again, we were going to have it in two halves, first NPR, second community in Pacifica. But because of the fact we couldn't generate an NPR official to be here, we've decided to have it be just everyone give brief talks, then we'll just have an open question period for the balance of the time, go directly to what is of interest to the audience, rather than try to split it in half to NPR and non-NPR. So that's going to be the basic model for the format for what we're about to do. Before I introduce the six panelists, let me just say a few brief words about radio. Radio is an area of particular interest to me. I've written about it. And radio, I think, for activists, political activists, has always been an extraordinary medium, because it is relatively inexpensive relative to other broadcast media and even to print media, and is in many ways the most democratic medium available for utilization currently and historically, and I think will remain the most democratic medium in many respects for the foreseeable future. So in one hand, it has tremendous promise, and it's an area where activism is crucial, and we're establishing stations, shows, networks is absolutely essential for a progressive notion of media. Unfortunately, we live in what is called a capitalist society. And in this society, the way radio has been developed overwhelmingly is as a commercial enterprise, the point of which is to have take the American radio listeners, turn them upside down, and shake money out of their pockets. It's the sole purpose of our radio system for the most part. It has historically been owned and operated by a relative handful of firms, usually serviced by two or three or four national networks, all revenue generated by selling advertising to 400 or 500 major national advertisers, to generalize. In the past 2 years, radio has undergone a stunning transformation in this country, quite unlike any other medium. This conference often talks of media concentration, media mergers, the effects of corporate control. Well, radio is really the lightning rod of media concentration in this country. The Telecommunications Act of 1996, arguably one of the most corrupt laws in American history, a law written by and large by powerful lobbyists that regulates the industries they represent with virtually no public and minimal congressional consideration. This law, one of its primary features was to relax the ownership requirements on radio stations in the United States. And since the passage of the law, signing into law in February of 1996, there's been little short of an Oklahoma land rush to create radio chains, something that there's no community in this country that has not been affected by this process, such that independent and small chains have been bought by medium chains have been bought by the largest chains, and we currently have a situation in the United States now where a handful of three or four chains that have really, of groups like Westinghouse, CBS, that have really just been built in the past 2 years now completely dominate our radio spectrum. So we have the irony or the absurdity that the least capital intensive and arguably most accessible communication medium is now the most tightly controlled and offers the least amount of diversity. That's the reality of commercial broadcasting in this country. The need then for public broadcasting becomes all the more paramount in that context. Public broadcasting, meaning nonprofit and non-commercial broadcasting or radio, assumes many forms in the United States. The three dominant, let's say there are four basic forms or three forms, depending how you break up the list. First is the National Public Radio Network of approximately, and David, correct me if I get this wrong, 300 or so stations, 300 plus stations, which is the lion's share of what we think of when we think of public radio in this country. Secondly are the community radio stations, and David Barsamian, our resident encyclopedia, Lynn, resident encyclopedia too. How many community radio stations?
Well, I'd say there's probably about 200 stations that could be identified.
Okay, about 200 roughly community radio stations. And then there is the burgeoning movement that I think some people in this audience are familiar with of micro-broadcasting or pirate broadcasting, which also is a fast-growing phenomena, which is a form of public radio. And in some and there's also the religious broadcasters in the spectrum, which we shouldn't forget. They are very important. That's right. That is a... Excuse me?
Over a thousand.
Over a thousand. So thank you very much. And then there's Pacifica, which I think is a community station, technically. We'll find out exactly. Community. So, but it sort of is distinguished because of the size of the operation, the number of stations, and the overall political and cultural impact it has quite outweighs, I think, pretty much the balance of the community stations. It's really quite a force. In radio in this country, in community radio. All nonprofit broadcasting faces certain core problems. Who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to make the decisions? What's the orientation of the station? Is the point to, is it run by people who work there? Is it run by the people who listen to the station? Is it run by elected boards? Is it run by... Is the goal to serve a potential audience or an existing audience? There are tough decisions that need to be made at any public station, regardless of whether it be NPR, community, or religious, or pirate, or micro-broadcaster. And that's some of the issues we're going to talk about today, how these decisions are being made, whether they're the best decisions, if we don't like them, what we can do about them, and try to understand how the situation is working. There are extraordinary opportunities in radio, just to get back to that point. It's a medium we have to work at. I'm a volunteer at Madison's WRT, which is a really outstanding community station, and we've made tremendous advances in the last 5 years, growing our audience, working together in a democratic manner to solve the conflicts that are unavoidable at any community station. And I think the lesson from Madison is that it can be done if people put their mind to it and are willing to negotiate and work at it. So the format today, we're going to let each of our speakers go hopefully no more than 10 minutes. I'll stop them at that point or ask them to wrap. And then after that, we'll go to a question period. We'll take questions. There are two microphones here. People can line up. During the question period, we ask that people... keep their comments relatively brief. There's plenty of time for questions, so there's not like I think everyone here who wants to ask the question should be in a position to ask it. That's our goal. extraordinarily short, like speeches that end with a question mark after like the 10th sentence. Yeah, I think a 2 or 3 minute speech maximum, but even shorter. I think be considerate. I think the thing is that there are lots of people here who want to speak, and I think a lot of people have similar questions. So instead of repeating each other, just make new points as you come up so we just don't keep hitting the same point, because there's lots of ground to cover. I think that's a fair statement. Let me briefly introduce the six speakers, and I think our speakers are committed to going quite quickly through this. Our first speaker will be Maria Martin from Latino USA, who will speak first. And we're going to start with sort of the NPR-related talks, then move into the Pacific and community-related talks. Our second speaker will be Raul Ramirez, to my immediate right, from KQED Radio in San Francisco. Our third speaker will be David Barsamian of Alternative Radio, down there to the second from the end. Then Pat Scott from Pacifica Radio to my immediate left will be the fourth speaker. The fifth speaker will be Lynn Chadwick from the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. And then our sixth speaker will be Norman Solomon, radio commentator, syndicated columnist. And so let's, with a lot of any, excuse me? And I'm Bob McChesney, and I'm the host. Thank you for those of you keeping score at home. Okie dokie. So with no further ado, let's go right into the talks, and then we get to the questions. Maria,